Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and thank you for joining us this morning on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. My name is Nathan Nkama, from hosting you from Dallas, Texas, and I trust that you are having a wonderful evening, a wonderful afternoon, and a wonderful morning, and we are glad that you chose to join us today. 208 weeks of continuous broadcasting, non-stop, from 2009, Roger, no mean achievement. It was all done by the grace of God and the support of everybody that wakes up every morning or evening, wherever you join us from, every Saturday. Roger, 208 weeks.
And that is a big word, the support of everyone, those who support us.
Yes.
In every way possible, or with the time. We don't take that
very light.
Very likely,
yes.
As you always say, financial donations, those who help us, those who listen on the archives, it's huge.
There are many ways a lot of people support, like you are saying, Roger, many ways.
Yes.
It's true. Well, today is another day, and a lot of things have happened. Every country has got its own challenges and its own issues, and we are glad that we can even have a forum and a platform through which we can talk about things concerning our nation and what is happening. There are many developments and a lot of other things. The Chiwombo road traffic accident, that was a tragedy and a disaster. There have been many other accidents that have happened. But on this forum, we have chosen that. And I keep saying this for those of us who live in America, when I say Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, I know you'll be able to relate. When she went before Congress and the shooting in Newtown, where 20-plus kids and five teachers and administrators died at that school, she just said one word, Patrick, enough. Okay? We need to get to that place in our lives where we say enough and we do something about it. Then we have a gallant Zambian who has been recalled back to duty back home to run the railway system of Zambia. Professor Clive Chirwa is not a stranger. He has put up a powerful vision. It's online if you want to look at it. And this morning, on our part, in the afternoon in the UK, Europe, and the evening, early evening in Zambia and other parts of Africa, in Australia, they're already in Sunday, we are going to have to try and sort of respond to some of the things that Professor Clive Chirwa has put up or put across, the way he sees that the railway system should be rehabilitated or rebuilt, revamped, whichever word you want to use. And we shall use some of the terminology he has put across in his vision or the presentation to try and also relate it to the road network system, because most of the people in Zambia actually travel on roads. And that's what is our discussion here today. And I asked a few friends to come and talk about this. And one of those wonderful Zambians, we are going to tap into his gray matter, is Mr. Victor Mwaba. Victor, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Very humbling introduction. I don't think I can live up to those expectations.
Roger, this gentleman is going to put me in trouble. Somebody else the other day was calling me something else. I said, you guys, when I go to Zambia, you're going to send the bail money on the Free Western Union. Patrick, mukatume sha bail ngalayanka. All right, Victor and Patrick, Roger here. I know others will be joining us shortly. Professor Chiru has put across a very interesting presentation, argument, and vision. And of course, we all know, Roger, it sparked a lot of debate through social media, as it is called now. This era we are living in is very dangerous. And there's protests have been led from Facebook, and everybody is scampering everywhere. Before we proceed with our discussion, Dr. Patrick, good morning. No. This is in Tay. I'm sorry. In Tay, good morning. Hello? Okay. He'll join us when he gets ready. Victor.
Doctor, yes, sir.
Professor Chiwa uses two terminologies, that's where I want us to begin our discussion. He uses the word rehabilitation or reconstruction. When you just do an overview of our transportation network system, I just want us to focus on the railway and the road. I know we've got waterways, we've got air travel, and let's leave those aside because the discussion will be too broad. What would be the best approach in your opinion, based on what you have seen, experienced, being a Zambian, you've traveled on those roads. I don't know the last time you jumped on the train. The last time I rode the train, Roger, we used to have Kafue Express. I don't know what happened to that. Rehabilitation versus reconstruction. That's our first question.
I do believe Professor Chiwa has a much better perspective than I would.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been traveled on rail transportation in Zambia, but the last time I was on a bus was last June. I was traveling from Ndola to my lovely hometown Kitwe, so I'm very familiar with road transportation, especially public.
Yes.
My understanding of Professor Chirwa's approach to revamp Zambia Railways is that I think when he says rehabilitation, it means in some cases he may have to use the existing infrastructure to just upgrade it to acceptable standards. When it comes to reconstruction, sometimes if the existing infrastructure cannot support his vision or the new design criteria, you have to demolish it completely and then build a new infrastructure. So it looks like there's going to be areas where he may have to use what's already existing, and in other areas you just have to do away with the buildings or sections of rail and just build brand new physical infrastructure.
Roger, Victor's used very interesting terminologies here, is existing infrastructure. And I always believe that words should be broken down, because this is what we do most of the time. You just start talking or making your presentation, whether you preach like me or whether you are a teacher, a professor. I always believe, Victor, that things should be broken down. Because the way you explained this, existing infrastructure, and, you know, like some things just need to be torn down. I was going to throw this at Roger. Roger, Victor's used some interesting words here. Professor Chirwa's vision, some things need to be rehabilitated. Some things cannot support his vision, so they need to be torn down completely. You want to pick it up from there?
Yes, and he gave several stations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Kitwe was one of them, Dola, this one needs to go, this one can be rehabilitated. I thought it was so basic even for everyone to understand. Some of these places, if you went there, the filth which is there, I don't think can accommodate the world-class infrastructure Professor Chiwa is proposing. If you look at that train he puts there and you compare what I was last in Kitwe in July last year when I went there, and I went to our station where I got which is very close to our station, where our station is. They say that station, that's where the street kids, some of them sleep in there. So you can, you are able to tell from there, I think, a lot of our infrastructure needs to go, totally needs to go. But I don't know if I'm going ahead of the discussion, Nathan. What we are seeing is rather no support coming from Zambia. We know the PF government is well connected to the Post newspaper. Now, for them to start shooting down these ideas, it was something which really surprised me after calling the man from where he was living in Comfort. But I'm going ahead of the discussion. I'm sorry for that.
No, that's fine. You've done well. And coming back again to, my lead panelist here is Victor. And Victor, when somebody has looked at that vision that Professor Chiwa has put across, okay, like we've already said, all of us know who have followed this debate or discussion closely. Others have said is what do you call it? Is a dreamer, like they used to call Joseph in the Bible. They said he's a dreamer. Now, when people come from that angle, I don't want to put you on the spot here. I don't know whether you stood on the debate that has been going on. I think shouldn't we all just rise up and say, at long last, we have somebody who is dreaming.
Well. I wouldn't like to be religious on this panel, but there's a great book that says my people perish due to lack of vision. People perish because they are not dreaming. I was asking a few other friends of mine. There was a half a dozen. Actually, just to make a disclaimer, I'm not a structural engineer like Professor Chiwa is. He's an expert in rail transportation and, NASA excavators out there. I'm a mine engineer. So there was six other mine engineers we were debating on email. And, of course, we were split right in between. There were a few of us who were saying, at least we have somebody who's dreaming. We need a vision. Whether or not it's a great vision, we'll find out. Some others called him a dreamer. And so I asked my friends to say, am I sensing an element of inferiority complex here? Because we have Professor Chiwa here proposing a great plan. Now, if he had been Professor Charles from London, would people have called him a dreamer? So are we calling him a dreamer because he's one of our own? But if it was some little inexperienced mechanical engineer from London, Professor Charles, would Zambians have accepted it to say, hey, this is a plan from an expatriate from London, so let's rally behind it, you know? There are some people who are calling Professor Chiwa to say, no, he has political intentions. He wants to make Zambia Railways like a stepping stone to become the president. I'm not a very good reader of people's intentions, and my wife thinks I'm terrible at that. So I wouldn't be able to guess Professor Chiwa's intentions, but as long as he has a dream and a vision ahead of us, I think as a Zambian, I owe him my support.
Because, you see, what you are saying, Victor, is that when you look at the whole thing, the presentation that he made, I have literally dissected the thing into small little things. One of the things that stood out to me, okay, is that in 2001, he said, Zambia Railways carried 1.98 million tons of cargo. And when he took over the previous year, I believe it's 2011, I think he was basing his statistics on 2011, the comparison of like a 10-year period, which of course is good in terms of economic measurement and sustainability. Not that I'm an economist, but some of these things are just common sense and understanding what is going on here. From 1.9, Roger, to 667,000 tons, Victor, that something was terribly wrong there.
Definitely, definitely. And for the fact that Zambia is projected to grow percentage-wise more than most of the developed countries, will probably grow 6% GDP per annum for hopefully for the next 10 years, whereas the United States and Europe, they are growing somewhere between 1.5 to 2%, 3% at best. So it looks like our economy is on full throttle growing, but as you can see from the numbers Professor Chira presented, the transportation network system is going the other way around. So, I mean, what better justification to invest in railways than to keep up with the projected growth, which the so-called experts out here, obviously, they keep, you know, touting.
Mm.
And
because,
the evidence, the evidence there, Nathan, is there to see that growth of 7%, the governor, was it the governor who announced yesterday, Zambia grew at 7% last year, in last quarter. The evidence is there to see when you travel from Kitwe to Chingola, from Chingola to Solwezi. The evidence is there to see how eroded our roads, how overused our roads have been, because the railway cannot keep up. The current infrastructure cannot keep up with the growth, and therefore you see the roads are eaten up, totally eaten up. Nathan has reported even when I was in Zambia, they've been eaten up. So our growth, when people hear there is 7% growth in America, as Vamwaba is saying, everyone will be clapping, popping champagne. Our growth is killing our country in terms of infrastructure.
Yes.
This is something that I'll confess that there was something that I wasn't aware of, which somebody just told me a few days ago when I told them I was going to have this discussion. I didn't know, Vamwaba, that when the equipment, when they were setting up Lumwana mine, the equipment that they needed to install in that mining operation, they had to, I don't know whether you all know this story. I'm told the police had to shut down the streets from Lusaka to whatever, to Solwezi, and it took it was a huge operation to move the equipment and things like that. I don't know how many people are aware of this story. And now, the reason I'm saying this is based on what you're saying, Roger. Obviously, the magnitude and size of that equipment wasn't the best way to move it by railway, Victor?
There you go.
Because, I mean, obviously, I know you say you are a mining engineer, but the principle of, what am I trying to say, issues of weight and those things, the principles are the same in whichever category or aspect you are looking at them. The weight that equipment put on our very fragile road network.
Nathan, imagine it's Ugrit. We call them Ugrit. I don't know the miner here, Mwaba, would call, what they call those things. Shuma Ugrit. That's what we call them, Kumindolo. Shuma Ugrit. Shuma Ugrit. Chiriachi. Chikabeula chilecha kunu machida. That thing covers the whole road.
Yes.
It's not being carried by those machines. It's being carried by these big trucks. It's being carried in the past.
Yes.
It covers the whole road, which means our two-way system cannot work. The other vehicle coming this way and the other, they cannot work. It has to cover the entire road. And how many of those things are in Rumwana? So to say that the roads were closed down, I agree, those roads need to be closed down today from what I'm seeing, equipment going in Zambia. I saw a lot of things. A lot of roads need to be closed when those equipment are moving. You know, now can you imagine how many people were inconvenienced? How much commerce was disrupted between that time?
Interesting. The other aspect I want us to look at on these things as we continue our discussion, Patrick, Simbaya. Good morning, everybody. Thanks to Elizabeth for coming back, Daniel and Miss Matilda here in Kansas City. One of my observations, Victor, is this, is that, like Professor Chirwa has pointed out in his presentation, we don't seem to have a concept of, like it was said on the previous segment when they were discussing women's soccer, Sia Boma, you know that expression. The point I'm trying to make here, Victor, is that we don't seem to have a business concept or model generally to most of the things we do in Zambia. It's like I get the impression that almost looking at it as being a profit-making venture is a sin and being insensitive.
Yes, I do believe we need to have some kind of a paradigm shift in the way we look at making a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Making a profit, we can help a lot of people by making a profit. It's only when we become quote-unquote wealthy or relatively wealthy that we can actually help support hospitals and other social goods that governments need. So if we want to say the rail system has to be profitable, has to be sustainable, we have to be a little more hungry, I guess, for the rebased Kwacha.
Let me just add on, maybe others are now even joining us, Nathan. One of the courses I really appreciated at school was supply chain, Nathan. And promoting our small program, which we are bringing on, bridging the gap was supply chain. In supply chain, they always told us, for instance, if they are creating the mine, they will ask the question, what is the relationship of this mine and the road? What is the relationship between the road and the hospital? What is the relationship between this road and this? Every connection you can make in supply chain, they will mention it. And then you start to make those connections. If something doesn't make sense, you stop there and fix it until it is done. So you ask a question whether there is a relationship between profit and this. I think, again, it is common that it is the knowledge base. When I was selling sweets, I remember selling sweets, or my sister selling papa market. When she sold everything she had, that was profit. There was no difference between the profit and the capital. There is nothing. There is no difference. That is the kind of environment to Kuriramo. And unfortunately, we find even our governments, those in national leadership, that is the kind of mentality abantu bakula nabo. So our relationship is connective into Tayaba sana in depth. And that's what I think we should be exploring as members of the diaspora. How can we help our own people to begin to connect the puzzle in the rightful way?
Let me bring in Vasimbaya here. Vasimbaya, you follow the discussion. The issue of the concept of, you know, business model of operations in Zambia. We tend to think that we just need to get or receive the service, and that operation shouldn't sort of like be a profitable venture. What's wrong with that thinking, Vasimbaya?
Yeah, I came a little bit late. Anyway, good morning to everyone on the panel.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to say Mr. Chiwa is very well capable. I think one of my friends, who's Jeremiah Piri, who has DAF Computers in Zambia, I think some of you might know him. He's a graduate from, I think, Birmingham in London, I mean in the UK. he came back, he does his computer stuff, and he's a bit connected to Chirwa or something. And he showed me his CV of Chirwa. I could not read it. I faint. So Chirwa is very, if umusungu kuno, areta Chirwa, Chirwa, to a Chirwa, they expect Chirwa to say, okay, he designed the Airbus wing, the Airbus, because indeke ukwenda ni wing. I'm an aircraft technician myself. Indeke ukwenda ma wing. Ama wing zingatakuri indeke te tiime. So Chirwa waranda, tindeke Airbus pakulima, mfumu waita design fine. Chirwa is very well capable of doing, and he's a dreamer. We need dreamers, I would say that. But I think also on the base of Chirwa, that he needs to me, I don't know, I haven't read too much, he needs the mass stages of what should be done first and second and third and fourth, and when can this be completed? Because it's a huge, huge undertaking, which we have never done as pure Mazambian. We haven't done that. And we've never had a Zambian head such a big project before. Now, in my mind, there's no way ahead that Kitwe Nkana mine, Zambian is an engineer. You know, I know that Basungo Bachite, Mazambians very size here and there. But I think that Chirwa is very well capable. But coming back to Zambian model, like the other person was talking about relationship, everything else has a relationship. The way the house stands to the ground, there's a relationship. If there's no relationship, in and out. So I think that understanding if you watch land of a relationship in terms of I'm a profit. We have to be tough, whether the government is a tender. To our tough, this has to make money by such and such and such. To put up anger, what is this? No matter to what, to say that it up anger, but the infrastructure up anger, if you want to say, but to what expectation, to put up anger profit, yeah, by this much, put up anger, this much, put up anger, so that we are monitoring it. Is a master.
I like that statement or phrase you have just made right there, Patrick. Have you heard that statement about Simbaya Bapanga? Whether the money is coming from government or wherever it is coming from, we need to have a projection to say by this time and this period, we need to have, what's the right word, a return on it or a profit. Obama was criticized for bailing out Ford and all the other companies. They paid back the money after they made the profit, Patrick.
You know, the situation that we have in Zambia is just the same. I always believe in principle. Roger talked about statistics, how everything is connected together. If you look at the Zambia situation, really the problem that I see is
that your language is in static.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Brad.
Okay.
That's a bit better.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is the problem that I see is how things are connected. You know, I don't know if everybody has heard about the goose and the farmer who was very poor. It's easy to obtain than to maintain, and that's a very important point. Easy to obtain than to maintain. If you look at state of Ozesco, we have both termites. We never used to have problems with the low shading.
But your line is still not good. It's difficult to follow what you're saying.
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
No, we can't. It's the same.
Okay. All right. I'll try and call in, maybe.
Okay. Try to use another line. Try to use another line. And,
okay.
Let's pick up this one before we switch gears here, Victor. On the aspect of, I'm trying to make us build on this point that Simbaya has brought up to say it doesn't matter where the money has come from. You and I live in America, and we know Obama bailed out Ford and all the other companies. They picked up, they recovered and paid back the money to the government.
Yes. I think is it Simbaya or Simbaya? You mentioned a very good concept of having a return on the investment.
Yes.
For transportation, obviously there has to be an economic return. When you spend so much money rebuilding or revamping the railways, you have to get so much in return. But there's also another aspect of return. There are some social returns that
mm-hmm.
have to come back on the investment. They have to be job creation. At the risk of being a tree hugger, you know, I think it's time Zambia embraced technologies and transportation systems that are more carbon friendly, that are greener transportation systems. The possible return on revamping the rail system, rail is 5 times cleaner than road network.
Mm.
Rail is 6 times safer than road. Rail is 18 times less congested than the road network. A lot of people think like, oh, if you're stuck in traffic, you're not losing money. You're losing money when you're stuck in traffic.
You lose
18 times more money by getting stuck in traffic. And in Lusaka, Lusaka is so congested, I know I can't drive in Lusaka. So these are some of the other returns a rail transportation system, in addition to obvious economic returns that the country can benefit. I do sense that we have a lot of people. We are preaching to the choir. It looks like most of us do support our dreamer. I wish we had more people who were on the other side. One of my very good friends in Australia, he's also a mining engineer, but he's a lot smarter than I am. He does not support Chira's plan because he says Chira did not run an economic model. He didn't show how exactly that return is going to be achieved. I countered my friend. I said, look, Chira has not run an economic model because that's a fairly high level presentation he made. The bolts and nuts can be done later. You don't have to give an economic model to an audience like he was giving. At the same time, you know, even if Chira may have overly underestimated the amount of the amount of money he needs to invest to get the rail system
yes.
to where he thinks it should be, he could have clearly overly underestimated that. And I said, I'm fine with it. I've sat in meetings in mining investments, probably not $1 billion investments, but hundreds of million dollar investments, and I've seen people be way off in their estimates. They'll be as much as 50% off, maybe even 100% off in their projections. And this is in America, and nobody gets fired. We just look the other way and say, okay, he learned his lesson. That's the tuition we paid for trusting his advice. So I'm still giving Vachiru the benefit of the doubt for the plan he has given us.
After Victor, after you have said that, let me just mention here to everybody that we are working on getting Professor Chira to come on the forum, and Victor, we are going to team up and try to get everybody and all the different people representing different views to come and face Vachiwa himself so that he explains himself and argues his point. Now, before we pick up on the three aspects of which Victor has highlighted, I want Patrick to continue with the thought that he was trying to bring across. Patrick, please continue with what you were trying to say.
What I was trying to say is...
That's excellent. Now you sound like him, Apollo.
Okay. What I was
Go
trying
ahead.
To say, Nathan, is that the situation we have in Zambia is that it's easy to obtain than to maintain. If you look at our rail system, our road networks, there was a time that these systems were able to support the population we had. So we were using electricity without repairing the turbines. And at one point, those turbines needed to be serviced. We got to a place where we did not have the money to service them nicely, or even to build maybe new infrastructure that ZESCO was getting out of those turbines, the money they were making. Now we have a situation today with a rail line that was built by Cicero Rhodes with this ambitious project from Cape to Cairo. And and so the rail system is really pathetic. But one of the things that I think about Professor Chilwa, and no doubt he's a very intelligent man, his CV is wonderful, but when I read that he was trying to build an underground system in Lusaka, I thought it was too ambitious. I thought he was too over-ambitious. I think he needs first to do with what he can do on the surface rail system before he can go underground. That's my point, which my cousin, who is a civil engineer, doesn't either believe. He thinks he's also being over-ambitious. So maybe
your cousin and I have had a long conversations about this. And the reason I'm preserving people like Victor's friend in Australia, your cousin, I won't mention his name for security reasons, obviously. people, Victor, and everybody else who are very strong about this, like Vasimbai has also said, we are working on getting Vachira to come so that we are not going to have just a nice discussion like Elizabeth and laugh with him and depart him on the back. We want.
But you see, Nathan, and you see, when we talk of, for example, the gentleman I'm talking about, this is a civil engineer who is qualified to do construction engineering here in America in over 9 states, and he's got license.
I know what you're talking about.
So when he was talking about this, he looked at everything. He looked and says, no. I think Professor Chilwa here is being over ambitious. So I think what we need in the next discussion, let's get people who are subject matter experts and team up, and then let's see the points that they bring out. Some of us might not be that privy or have the knowledge about civil engineering that much compared to the gentlemen that will be on the panel. Maybe we'll just listen and let them...
Yes. I got one question for... I think it's Dr. Patrick. Is it Dr. Patrick? When your cousin says of ambitious... Can you be a little more specific? What does over-ambitious mean?
I'm saying I'm not a subject matter expert, but what he actually meant was let's first see what we can do with the surface rail systems and before we can go underground, you know, because in the article it was written that Professor Chilwa wants to create an underground system in Lusaka. First of all, Lusaka sits on marble. The whole province of Lusaka sits on marble. And that's just a well-known fact. So those are some of the things. Maybe we have to look into all those details that you were thinking. No, let's sit down as maybe engineers and look at this thing. I don't think he was saying it's not doable, but he was saying it's a little bit over-ambitious in some cases. Like right now.
You know what, Patrick?
Yes.
To me... Over-ambitious, honestly speaking, sounds like it's not attainable. It's something that cannot be done. Wishful thinking. Okay, let's do this. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. This is a roundtable discussion. We're simply looking at rehabilitating Zambia's transport system based on Professor Clive Chilwa's vision and presentation. coming up... Well, some people we have noise in the background. Coming up after this is going to be buying property in Zambia by Chris Mlinga. This is a pre-recorded show, and we thought that we should just revisit some of the things that have already been done on the show. Let me have a lady say something here. Vamatilda, go ahead, and I know you are burning to say something and to give your perspective here.
Yeah, I am burning to say something, but I find myself, even in my thought process, conflicting myself. So I hope I don't do too much of that when I speak out. I'm looking at this in a lot of ways, different capacities. First of all, I'm looking at it at a very creative, innovative idea. You know, there are a lot of things that we can do with it. We can explore without thinking too much on cost, you know, money-wise, rather, you know, sustaining it. But looking at it from a creative point of view, just the green area of it, what can we do, what can be done? But obviously you can't stay in that green stage for too long. You have to start applying. Of course, we have to be relevant. We have to look at our ground. As you had said, Zambia sits on marble. You know, is it something that is feasible? And when I think of all these things, I think of my own city here where I live. Well, it's not my own city, but here where I live in Kansas City, where we have been trying to have light rail be voted in for a long time, for over 10 or 20 years, well, maybe 15 years. And that bill has not passed. You know, in a country that is developed as the U.S., where we can't even say light rail should, we should have light rail. What? How difficult would it be for us to have underground rail in Zambia? And what about the current rail system? What can we do with it? What can we do to improve before we go underground? You may have covered some of these topics earlier. I came in the middle, so.
No, it's fine. You are fine because you see, this is the thing, and it's always, I think, the greatest failure or lapse on our part. If I say in Africa, that will not be fair because some countries are not in the situation Zambia is in. Okay? What they call feasibility studies, Mwabahi has given us some good information. Railway is 5 times cleaner, 6 times safer, and 16 times less congested. Okay? Some people 18. Think... Did you say 18? Yes.
18.
Yeah, because, 18. Yeah, I guess I missed the figure. Because, you see, these are the information in research, which I hope we'll be able to talk about in the next remaining minutes before, as we address this next point. Research, information, feasibility studies, investigation is what drives developed nations to act or do things and invest in a certain way. Because based on the high levels of road traffic accidents in our country, based on the congestion in Lusaka plus Imbaya, shouldn't we be thinking railway?
Yes, I think that, you know, to tell you the truth, and I think you proved me right in the nearest course of the future, that... Mr. Chiwa is well able. I mean, guys, let's be honest. Muntu alanda tukina kulenga nda yama stairs hii famulu. Nga waya kumushu kumuye sikuisoka. Nye mbita kwa hawe yama stairs. Tu ala kana. You're too overambitious. One thing I think I did also research. The one who started Honda. He was a technician. He wasn't an engineer. Who was a Honda? Now you see how Honda has a ship. He has ships. They do some research in aircraft and stuff. So, guys, it's not mere about education. Also, it's about ambitiousness. So if he's ambitious, let him be ambitious and let's see where he goes with it. I mean, we can't just start objecting. I know he's done his business studies. He knows how Lusaka is. You know, topography and all those things. He knows that the soil of Lusaka is. So he knows those things. He's well educated. So how are we going blasting? Is blasting okay? How deep are we going to go? Those things he must have thought about. You can't just say, I'm building underground, just saying without knowing what the soil is. So I know that let's give the guy a chance and let's see what he can do. I think to me, the best way is to maybe could become a phases. Phase one, really on the ground. Phase two, trying to punch. So I mean that's what I think would work. But combining everything at one time, maybe it might be too much or take too long. But the first thing is rail on the ground, then under the ground. But we must be able to open up. I'm a plan there, but a papa to get a punch. No manga takuti I'm a plan for to feel work on punch. Umuntu aisa sana mano ati nkuli punch ati awe for makula. It's very difficult to kuya punch. We have to go to a bongo so a few days. Now it costs us more money. So the guy is thinking from underground going up. And I support his idea.
Okay. What we will do, like I'm saying, the best way is obviously for that, that's the purpose of a round table, is to get different views and ideas and the way we are looking at it. Now, as we conclude our discussion in the next 10, 12 minutes remaining, please stay with us. We have you can listen into a recorded show, Buying Property in Zambia, which was done by Chris Mlenga, a property evaluator and investor. One of the things which is very much at the bottom of the food chain in our economies is research, design, and engineering, okay? Now, here, some of these things, Ramwaba, and you see, that's why because Chirwa's presentation is not just talking about rehabilitating the sleepers, building another rail line along the existing one, putting railway lines in the northwestern, western provinces, which is another topic for another day. I really want somebody to explain to me why we don't have a railway system in Mongo, Sosheke, and all those areas after 49, 50 years of independence. We just still talk about the Chingola to Livingstone line, and, okay, don't talk to me about Tazara. That was a Chinese thing, and all those things. So, on Professor Chirwa's presentation, Vamuava, I want us to zero in to this as we conclude our discussion. We are working on getting Professor Chirwa to come to the show, and I'm going to get all the engineers who are for him and those who are against him so that they come and battle it out here, the battle of all matter. On page 20 of Professor Chirwa's presentation, Ramwaba, he talks about, and you see, this is the other thing also, because the question that we ask ourselves is that how much of research and design goes on at the University of Zambia, at the Copperbelt mm-hmm. University. You see what I'm trying to say? Those are some of the areas that we are not very good at in our economies. He's talking about engineering design division, which the Zambia Railways can build its own coaches, it can do other engineering manufacturing things for other engineering like the mines and other manufacturing companies. Please, let's address this aspect of the Zambia Railways vision of Chiru and how important it is.
Well, I think our people at UNSA and CBU, among other universities popping up left, right, and center, they are fairly capable of engineering and design. Perhaps what we don't have is a relevant curriculum. In some cases, people are still programming in very ancient programming languages which have no relevance to what's going on at Apple. So I think maybe our curricula in higher education needs to be revisited so that we are actually researching and designing things that are relevant to what society in Zambia needs today. To briefly, I know I'm diverting, but the issue of we should first refurbish rail systems on the surface before we go underground. I think that's the same. It's the same proposal to say people in Sesheke should not have cell phones until they have landlines first. Sometimes as you make progress, there's a disruptive behavior of progress. When you look at a smartphone today, it has no resemblance to the phone that Alexander Bell invented. So sometimes progress leaps, it makes a quantum leap. So we can go underground before we refurbish what's on the surface. And the main determining factor is availability of real estate. If we find out that it's going to be too expensive to relocate businesses, relocate buildings in Lusaka in order to have a robust rail transportation network system, it actually can be cheaper to go underground.
Interesting concept. So based on what Victor is saying, Patrick, then I'll go to Roger very quickly. And I know, Patrick, this point I'm going to throw at you. You are very passionate about this. Professor Chiru has indirectly put the challenge on our higher education curriculum system.
Nathan, I think that's very, very true. I was doing my own research here when I went to the University of Zambia, sat there in the morning, and there were only two computers in the library. I opened my laptop. I saw students lining up. I didn't want to stay the whole day. I wanted just to be there for 3 hours. I stayed the whole day at the University of Zambia. Mm. And I had to allow the students to use my laptop. What I did, like, you know, the books were very old. But I can proudly announce to everybody on the panel that I did something. I came over here, New Mexico State Eastern University, signed up a memorandum of understanding with University of Zambia. Now we can have students from Zambia come to New Mexico for 2 years and graduate, and vice versa, students from here can go to Zambia and do that, and then professors will be able to either go to Zambia and teach, and professors from Zambia can come over here and they can share research materials. And right now, as I'm saying, there are computers that we are sending to University of Zambia. I think the curriculum, and that's where one of the problems we had with Eastern and Junza was now to sit down to begin to write curriculum that would be compatible, that students will start off from here, they do the same subjects, and vice versa like that. So I think what we need is to change the whole curriculum. I think, Nathan, you've heard me say this, and on this one, I'm in total agreement with Winter Kavimba. French, they teach in French. Russia, Russian. Sweden, Swedish. China, Mandarin. And for your own information, China has over 1,000 dialects. In Portugal, they teach Portuguese. It's very easy, Nathan, and everybody on the panel, to understand in our language. You know, and so one of the things that I've been advocating myself is, and I think it's a very hard process to do, but I think that's something that is doable. If we can pick a language or two in Zambia, that we can, and of course English must always be on the side because English is an international language, that we can start teaching students in. For example, we don't think in terms of A and B. You know, we think in terms of, you know, things that you can see and relate to. So we think in terms of analogy is not inferior to analysis. They all achieve the same result. So I think instead of saying A plus A, we can say one chicken plus one chicken. One chicken plus one chicken.
Okay, we'll pick it up from there. That is actually... we've run out of time here. I want Roger, my point here as we conclude is that Professor Chiwa indirectly did challenge our higher education system without really saying it, based on what Bamwaba said.
Yes, he did. And probably that's why the challenge and of ambition, maybe. To be where they are today, the South Koreans, 50 years ago, we were probably at the same level, gross domestic product-wise, we were at the same level. They committed to education, Nathan, for over 50 years or so, committed 100%. Everything they did went into education. Today, Samsung and Apple are toe-to-toe. They are fighting. Hyundai is now competing with Honda. That is what we can see, the results which are coming, the commitment. This was not done in 5 years or in 10 years or in 15. We are seeing a good number of years which was committed to education. What Mr. Chiwa is talking about here is some highly engineering, which only him may have. Now, if we are to finish again the entire supply chain, we need people like him in a lot of areas. We are going to need a lot of people like him who understand material at his level. People like him who understand water at his level. He probably has only one area. So this is where those who are saying he is probably over-ambitious. We do not have the education system which can probably... 5 years or 10 years in support his idea.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, for those our friends who are listening online, let me just read as we conclude here what Isaac Mlongo in Germany is saying online. He says, this is a Zambian thing, not for Chirwa alone. It is for all Zambians. The man just set the ball rolling like Cecil Rhodes. Great point, Isaac. And he continues to say that the only thing which needs to be corrected in his vision are the phases. You
that's
put
correct.
Correctly. Feasibility studies are necessary. In 3 years, Professor Chirwa railway plan is not achievable. We should be talking about 15 to 20 years. That's Isaac Mlongo from Germany. Let me thank my panel and everybody that has participated here, but Victor Mwala from California. And this is an ongoing discussion. We shall bring in people from Road Safety Transport Agency. And, of course, the big endeavor is going to be when we get a confirmation of Professor Chirwa's appearance on the show. And Victor and I are going to work in getting a panel of people who are in full support of Chirwa, 101%, and those who think he needs to rethink his position. Thank you, everybody, for taking part. And coming up is Buying Property in Zambia with Mr. Chris Mulenda. And thanks for joining us once again, Zambia Block Talk Radio. Until next week from me, have a good weekend. Thank you, Victor, everybody, Roger, Patrick, Vasimbaya. It's always a joy to have you guys on the panel.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you.
Bye. She won't be falling with the party if you're woody. Well, that's not what it's.